Okay, very good morning to everybody. Have you got your notebook with you? Everybody? You want to open the notebook and show you how you can use it. Now, you ought to be very careful with this notebook because the pages come out very easily. It's called coming apart, right? But better to have the notebook come apart than for the soul to come apart. Think about this. Okay, now the second thing that you need a pen, if you have, anybody needs a pen to work with, you know, always carry little pens with you. Anybody? You all have, right? And then you have your Bible with you as well, right? Okay, you have your notes as well. And we are all good to go. Now, I want to share with you how you can read the Bible. All right, don't take for granted that we all know how to read a Bible. I'm going to share with you how you can read a Bible. I want to share with you how I read a Bible. And then for those of you who are new, how to read a Bible. If you are new to Bible reading, and you really, really don't know how to actually go about reading it, I'm going to share with you how you can do this so that you will understand what the scriptures are teaching. Not just what I'm saying, but what the scriptures are actually saying to you. And then our part is just to explain to you, highlight things which actually sometimes can be missed if you don't read carefully. Right? So we need to put on our thinking cap. Concentrate for the next 45 minutes or 40 minutes now, 5 minutes gone, and then we'll start, okay? Well, every time I read, I always begin with prayer. So I always pray, Lord, open my eyes, help me to see. Otherwise, you know, you're just like a blind person. You don't know what you're looking for, what you're reading, okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you will help us to understand what it means to read the scriptures. And we pray that you will teach us how to appreciate the scriptures for what they are. Help us to appreciate this in more ways than one as we start the youth conference. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. What are the things that you want to learn how to read? And I'm going to make a list of things here. Okay, for those who are is reading, I mean, again, always bear in mind we call ourselves readers, old and new, right? So we are also readers, and you are fairly new to the whole idea, right? What do we do when we actually read a Bible? I'll tell you what I do. First, obviously, I need to read. A lot of people don't actually read. They just skim through. You know what a skim? Just, that's it. And they sort of, I skim through it. And if you skim, you don't read, you don't get anything very much. Because you read, I don't understand. Because you're not reading it properly. Right, so first, I'll show you how to actually look for the things that are there. Okay, number, look at the things, read. Now, for those of us, learn how to review. Because if you read this morning, then later on you don't review. I tell you, you forget everything. The moment you come to tea break, whatever is learned here is gone. Right? So what's the answer? Cancel tea break. That's... your face fell straight away. No, that's not what we mean, but learn how to review. Three, learn how to reflect. Now, this is what I said yesterday. Right? Now, this is very important. How do I reflect on this thing here? And then finally, I look for how do I respond? Okay? So if I practice these four things, how will it help me? Well, let's try. Okay? When you are new at reading, let's say you also need to read. Okay? But you learn, you ask yourself a question, how is that relevant? You see, you read differently. Three, you ask yourself, is that real? Right, so you ask yourself, is that real? And then finally, you ask yourself also the same idea of response. How do I respond? And this time, you learn how to respond by asking, how do I relate? And that is going to be important. So I'm just going to share all these things with you. Bear this in mind. Put under your notes how to read the Bible. At least you know where we begin. All right? Now, let's learn how to read. Look at Ephesians 1. The book that I will be teaching you from is known as an epistle. Okay? Now, this is known as an epistle, and literally, it's like a form of a letter. Right? So, but it's not a big, thick narrative book, historical. It's just an epistle. We call it an epistle because it's like a very long letter. And the technical word is called an epistle. So I like the song that was sung by the group just now, and it's about only God. Right? Because this is one of the things we're going to learn to read. As we read the scriptures, you will learn about God. Right? But when we learn about God, we ask ourselves, what does it really mean? And a lot of people cannot understand what it means. You know, we can't see God because we tend to understand things from what we can see. And from what we can see, what we can experience, we then decide whether you like it or you don't like it. Right? So we take a look. And, you know, some people, you know, this in Singapore, there is this thing called Yo Chi. How many of you like Yo Chi? Some of you do, some of you don't. And I've seen people, long queue. Sometimes the people tell me around the block. What is that? It's yogurt. But it's just that do your own thing, you know. So what is it that you like? Do your own thing. Add in your own stuff, right? Until you have to pay for it, and to your horror, wow, I didn't know it would cost so much. Well, that's where the shock begins. But what are you looking for? That I want to share with you this morning. Well, few things we want to look for, but this is just introductory. And I want to share with you that when I think of God, what's your favorite word for God? Anybody? What's your favorite word for God? That I can share with you mine. Yesterday, I was talking to this group of young ladies here. We're talking about cats. We're not talking about any particular cat. We're talking about my cat. And, you know, start me off, and I can talk to you all the time about a cat. No particular cat, just mine. Well, because it's a very special relationship that I have with my cat. So I can talk about him. Right? So if you were to ask me, what do I know about God? How do I think about God? How do I relate to God? Well, this is what I would say to you. Right? Now, this is an important word, and I'm going to trace this thought with you throughout the whole book of Ephesians chapter 1. Just chapter 1. And then you write down your own notes. What I am discovering about God, and this is one word that you want to learn, and it is simply called the word Father, or what we call the fatherhood of God. Okay, so we begin reading now. Now, take a look at all the things you can discover about God as Father. Right? Now, look at this very carefully. First, we read, okay? Verse 2. Now, this is an important word that we read, and we read, grace to you and peace from God our Father. There we go. So we can think about God, about peace from God, our Father. So we can actually think about relating to God as Father. That, to me, is a very, very special thing. Right? Now, think about this thing. So you write down there, number one, I am discovering about God that He is God and He is Father. Not just simply God, but God and Father as well. So you begin discovering the fatherhood of God. Now, please do not try to think that God the Father is like your human father. Ready? He is far, far greater. About 10 million times far different from what our heavenly, our earthly fathers are. So some people don't get attracted to God as Father because imagine if they don't have a good relationship with their earthly father, they think of God as Father and they switch off. Don't. This Father is unlike anyone you have ever come across. Now you will see why. Let's read further. For yourself, go ahead. And Paul the writer wrote and he said, "Blessed be God and Father." Wow, there we go. God and Father again. Put on there, God and Father. Ephesians 1, put on there for yourself. Well, your further review, a review later on. Ephesians 1, right? 1, 2. Ephesians 1, 3. That's how you make notations. Then you look at God, Father, God, Father. So in what sense is He Father? Watch all these things that are coming up. You can see for yourself. Right? This is a Father who, we read, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now, this is a Father who loves to bless. This is not a angry father or stingy father or can't be bothered father, or this is a Father who loves to bless His children. Now that is a wonderful Father. Right? Now watch this very first, go on further. Now what do we appreciate about the Father? Now I used the word here, verse 4. Just as He chose us, and we read to the last part of it, He chose us in love. This is a Father who, now watch this very carefully, that He chose in love. Right? So when you read in newspapers some weeks or some months ago now about a little baby girl and how her name is called Megan, and how she was badly treated, and she was beaten so badly until she actually died. Right? I mean, you look at these stories like that and you get really, really angry and upset. How can parents do that to their children? This is not what God is like. See, God chooses us and He does it out of love. Now, this, think about these things here, right? So this is out, He chose us out of love. Now, we go on further. Now, this is a wonderful thing. In verse 5, and that to me is a very beautiful word, verse 5. He has chosen us and He has literally adopted us. How do we think of God as Father? How can we relate? He adopted us as sons. The word sons includes the word daughters. We call this a generic word. Now think about this. This is what we are, as we read the scriptures, you read for yourself and you are amazed. You mean God will adopt us as His children. And He will choose us. And all out of love. Read for yourself. Now, remember, you read first. You reflect, you review. But read first, and then think about responding later on. Okay? Now, the question is, why would God do that? Why would God want to relate to us? Why would God want to choose us? Why would God want to do anything like that for us? And the answer is here, found very clearly. Right? So here we go. It is simply out of his good pleasure. That's why? Because he enjoys it. He likes to relate to us. Right? Now, this is important for us to think about these things here. Then, made us watch. But we say we are not very good people. But he has made us accepted. You know, we all have difficulties in life. Some people accept us, school friends accept us or reject us. Teachers accept us or leave us alone. But here we read, here is God the Father and he accepts us. Can you see all that? Write all these things down for yourself in a notebook. You can always ask questions later, but first learn to read. How, look at all of these things here. Now we go on very quickly. Okay, this is something that we want to look at in quickly, in the, because of time, we look at in verse 11. Think about this. God has planned an inheritance for us. Now, we often think that only when we come from a fairly rich family, then our parents give us a good inheritance. And if our families don't have a lot of anything to give, there is nothing to give. Well, this is God as Father. And he has planned, I just wrote on there, he has planned an inheritance for us. That's a wonderful thought. Look at what we are discovering about God as Father. Are you following? Are you reading? Right? Look at, you can read for yourself, verse 11. Okay? Now, look at all of these things here as we look in verse 17, we read that the God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. And there we go. These things that we can discover about God the Father. Now, the question that we ask ourselves is, if this is what is God's thing here. Now, this is where the notes are going to be a little bit helpful for you. Think about this. You can turn to your notes a little bit and then ask yourself, look at the next page, the page that talk about, I wrote on the page 2. To understand the difference between God and man, right? As men, human beings, we plan things. We hope that the plans will work out. But when it comes to God, God does not only plan, he predestines. That is the difference between God and man. Now, the word predestined is a big word. Now, it's very hard to imagine this, but you just imagine where you are going in your life, right? We very often we can say, I finish your O-level, your A-level, your university, and then what lies beyond? Frankly, you don't know. You just don't know. But imagine, here is God who predestines from Alpha to Omega, from beginning to end. God predestines everything. And this is what God reveals to us. So all of these things we read about right here, God has predestined them for his children. Now, you think about this for a while, and you look at it and say, wow. I mean, this is wonderful. To me, I look at it and I am just amazed. Do I have an earthly father who can do all of these things here? Answer, no. Has he planned anything like this for me? No. Can he plan anything like this? No. But God can. And God did. This is our challenge to you. Discover what God is like. He's not just an idea, a concept there. He is Father. Reveal to us, God is Father. Now, to me, that is just staggering. It's just really, really mind-blowing to think about what we can discover about God as Father. And so many people, when they talk about God, blank. What do you know about God? Nothing. I come to church. Hey, I didn't ask you about church. I'm asking about God. What is God to you? What is God really like to you? When you pray and you relate to God in prayer, what is God really like to you? Now, question, is he like this? Just think about this for a while. God can be my Father, really? Seriously? Think about this, right? This is a very, very real thing. And we have to ask ourselves how we can relate to God as Father. Now, we go on further. Just very quickly. And all of these things, the God's purpose, and all these things are being revealed. So when we read the scriptures, we are looking at things which are literally revealed to us. Now, how is God actually able to do all of these things? Why would he do it? How can he do it? It's a very practical question. So now we go into reading Ephesians 1, and we're going to see how God reveals his plans. How God actually planned, and then how he reveals this, how that is made possible. Okay? Now we go on further. Now, the next thing that we are going to read about, okay? So, subject number one, God as Father. Subject number two, we are going to read about the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, go back to chapter one. Don't stop reading. Read it again. Now, this time, we look for the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Now, looks is very important. Now, chapter one, go back there again. Paul calls him the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? There is no need to address our camp commandant as Mr. Joshua Pang. You can call him Joshua if you want to, but you don't need to call him Lord. Right? You don't need to call anybody Lord. You just imagine, what Lord? Right? But when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's absolutely right to call him Lord. And this is how Paul called our Savior, that he calls him our Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that I like to do when I think about the Lord Jesus. I do not just call him Jesus. I call him Lord. Because this is very biblical. This is very correct. It is very natural. And it's absolutely good to do this. So Paul calls him the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Very important for us. Okay, now, think about these things. We talk about how the Lord would choose us, right? So this is us. We will read more about us in chapter 2 later on. But today we just look at God chose us in how, on what basis? And the basis is simply here in Christ, the Lord. The word Christ is not a name. It's actually a title. Right? The title literally means the anointed one. So when we call Jesus the Christ, that is correct. He is the anointed one of God. We call him the Messiah. Right? So when we write, we say he is in Christ. He is in the anointed person. This is the special anointed person of God. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch very carefully the things we are going to discover about him. Okay? Now, let's read very carefully. For chose us in him. Okay? Now go on further. Then we talk about how we have adoption of sons by Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, this is very important. So how are we to become children of God? It is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we go on further. So we see mentioned in him, right? In Christ, in, we go on further. Okay, now this is very important. He's called the beloved. So we are adopted, and the person through whom it is possible, it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called by different ways, in different terminology. So he's called the beloved. The beloved of God. Well, that's what it is. That's what God said when he was baptized. This is my son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Now we have, the phrase is simply in him, verse 7. Right? In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness of sins. We have the riches of his grace. All of these things here are absolutely wonderful. Verse 11, in him we have obtained inheritance. Verse 13, in him you also trusted. Key word, all the time we read about all of these things are possible. So obviously it is to be, he is called the Lord, he's called the beloved, because the phrase is in him. Right? So as you read the scriptures, as you read Ephesians 1, and you ask, now the question as a new reader, so if I'm new reading, you have to ask yourself this question. Am I included? Have you ever asked yourself, am I included? Can I look at all these things here? They're wonderful. God as Father, right? God has planted an inheritance. God has blessed. God has predestined. God has chosen. All of these things. And you cannot but ask yourself, am I included? How? How am I going to be included in this wonderful blessing? Right? Now, this is an important part of it, because we need to ask ourselves, because later on you can ask your Bible study leaders, the pastors and others who are involved in the teaching, to ask them any question you wish from Ephesians 1. Don't worry about the class that I said. If you've got something you want to ask, go ahead and ask. How can we also be part of God's plan? Now, this is the third part we want to take a look at. So this is number two, right? So because of time, I'm going to look at the third part. This involves you, right? How can you be involved? How can you be part of God's plan? Now, this is something that we need to think about very carefully. How can you be, right? So this is where we read. Okay, so look at this very carefully. Look at verse 13 here. Okay, in verse 12, Paul, example, we first who trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and you have believed. Now, this is where we can be involved in more ways than one. First, this message is called, sometimes called the gospel. It is called the gospel of salvation. Right? First, we hear about it. Well, today you hear about it, you heard about it. Two, you learn, well, you know what? I can trust. And Paul trusted, others trusted. And the word trusted is the word related called believed. You can read all about this. Look at verse 13. It's all here. Right? So you can read on your own. You can reflect on it. You can review. You can relate. Work on it. Let the word of God, let the scripture speak for itself to you, in whom you also trusted. after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you have believed. Now, that is an amazing thing. What does God want from us, basically? Look, He is the one who gives you inheritance. He doesn't want your money. Right? He doesn't want anything from you. All He wants to ask you is, can you believe in me? All right? So what do I believe in? God as Father. Can I believe all that He has said, that He has chosen, He has predestined, He has given an inheritance, He has all of these things? Can I believe all of these things here? Can I really believe that God can be Father to me? How? And we said the sphere is in the Lord Jesus. It is in and through the Lord Jesus that I believe in God as Father. So if that happens, then I, there we go, become like Paul and the other. We all become children of God. That is a starting point. Right? So when I read about this a long time ago and I hear the gospel and I think of people who can speak of God as Father, deep down inside my heart, I want to ask, can God be my Father? I remember very clearly, I wrote a little note. I wrote down there and I said, this is what I wrote, dear God. I don't know how else to address Him. So I said, dear God, you know, I would like to be your son. I would like you to be my Father. Please receive me. Amen. That's it. That was my first prayer. As simple as that. And I don't know whether it went through or not. Right? I don't have a forwarding address. I don't have God's email. I could not text God in any way. I just simply ran down there. And now, what I did was in my heart. I just deep wanted to trust. Now, I don't believe in people very easily. I don't trust in people easily either. I really don't. But I found myself saying, Lord, I want to believe you. I want to know and believe you. I want to know that you know my life from beginning to end. You know what I'm going to go through. You know what illnesses I'm going to have to fight. You know what is the end of the road. And above everything else, I know that you can be the most wonderful Father that anyone ever could ask for. That was it. Right? Now, we have to ask ourselves, how would God respond? Okay? Now, this is very important for us to take note of. Just very quickly, this to share with you Ephesians 1, so that you can see this very clearly. Right? Now, we're going to look at this. So this is God's plan revealed. Now, this is something that God wants us to know, and you can have this reality of these things here. So God wants to be Father to us. We are His children. God wants to know us to know that He has planned everything. Human beings plan for Him, He predestines. That's amazing. He predestines. All right? We all like to plan this, try that. God doesn't do trial. He predestines. And He has given us His, remember, an offer, an opportunity. Would you like to be children? How? Adoption. How? Is it possible? And the answer is yes, if we understand it properly. Right? So if we were to believe, if we were to trust, what happens? Now God responds and This is an invisible thing, but it's also based upon trust. God gives to us what is known as the Holy Spirit. And He will be our seal, and He will be our guarantee. I wish you can see it, but that's exactly what God does. God seals every single person. You belong to the Lord. You are sealed. The Spirit of God has sealed you. You are His. There is a guarantee from God. We will be His children. Now, if you read Ephesians 1 along these lines about God the Father, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about our part in responding to Him, and about the Holy Spirit as our seal and guarantee, you have read Ephesians 1 correctly. Right? But you have to ask yourself now, if I read all of these things here, the key word is, how do I respond? So I want to just look at this thing here and what it means. What as I review this, as I reflect, I want to share with you what I appreciate about this chapter. This is from me personally. Okay? One. To know that I can have a Father who does not only plan for me, He has predestined things for me. Gives me a tremendous sense of certainty, of hope, of strength that, you know, enables me to cope with anything. I think to me that's just absolutely wonderful to think about this. Okay, you know, when you do a blood test, they sometimes check to see how, whether you are sensitive, you know, you're allergic to this and that. And so they will tell you, you know, normal would be 0.6 eosinophil kind of thing, they call it, and that's where you are. So my son came to me yesterday, he says, Dad, the doctor said mine is 4. It should be 0.6. I am 4. That's terrible, right? 4 times higher. So I laughed and I said, yours is only half of mine. I'm super allergic. Right? So the doctor says, don't have the cat. I look at the doctor and say, no way. Does God know that I have an allergy to cats? Yes. Does He know? Of course. Does He know that I will sometimes break out into all allergic reaction? Yes. Can I still love my cat? Yes. Is all this part of God's plan in every little detail? Yes. You know, it gladdens the heart to know that God knows every single thing about us. Right? That one day He will have me. Now, I wasn't a cat person. I'm more of a dog person. I've always had dogs since I was a child. Oh, many dogs. You know, I had my first group of things that I led was not human beings. My first congregation, all dogs. Seriously, I have a whole lot of dogs where in my house, about 5 of them. And these are all kampung dogs, and they are very loyal, you know. If I say go, they all come with me. If I stop, they all stop. They're very loyal, more loyal than human beings. If the other enemies want to fight with my dogs, I would have 5 to fight with them, 1. They all mostly don't fight because they see 5. But when it comes, but this is, does God know about all these things here? So all my life it's been dogs, dogs, dogs. And then suddenly my granddaughter says, can I have a cat? So I tried to persuade her, how did I give you a Labrador? She said, no. What if I get you a nice Bichon Frise? No. How about I get you a nice Pekingese? No. Cat. And cat is not spelled D-O-G. So, okay, I bought a cat for her. Little did I know, but God knows, that this little cat will be the joy of my heart. This little cat will become, if I get up in the morning to go for my morning jog, he will be there sitting for the whole hour until I finish. He is going to be my most loyal companion. Does God know about all these things here? Yes. Think about this. This is God in his knowledge. This is God in his grace. This is God in his love. God understands everything about us, and you know what? Still, we are his beloved children, made accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this. See, most of us struggle with, you know, I have problems with my family. I have problems with my parents. I have problems with all kinds of things. And then we don't realize that we have God as our Heavenly Father. Now, this morning, I want to encourage you to open your understanding and ask yourself, can this God that you talk about, read Ephesians 1 again by yourself. Use a pen if you want to. Use a red pen, whatever color you want to use, and mark it out and ask, phrase by phrase, word by word, and ask. And ask yourself, is God your Father in heaven? And you know you can be. You can be a child of God. I want to share with you one of my favorite verses. This is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And with this, I will conclude this morning's session. In John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, just before Ephesians, a little bit back, right? Right. Look at the Gospel. Paul talks about the Gospel of salvation. This is one of the Gospels written, chapter 1. And we come across this wonderful verse. Okay? First, response for the first one. He was in the world. The world was made through him. The world did not know him. He came into the world. That is why we celebrate Christmas. John chapter 1 verse 10. Then in verse 11. He came to his own. He came to Israel. But Israel, his own people, did not receive him. And then come to verse 12. But as many as received him. Right? Now, so we believe, we trust, we receive the Lord Jesus. To them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. Right? We are not born children of God. We are not by blood children of God. We are not made children of God by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but by the will of God. You can be children of God. That is an offer. This is your opportunity. How wonderful it is to have an outlook of life where you can be children of God. This is the thing that we want to share with you this entire week. What it means to be children of God. Okay, think about this. But let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you can be our Father. If we were to believe in the Lord Jesus and trust in him, we thank you that we can be made accepted. We can be made adopted as children of God. Help us to ponder this wonderful truth that we are learning this morning. Help us to ask our teachers to explain how this is possible. Teach us how to, with all our heart, receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and through believing in Him, become children of God. Help us to look forward with great joy and excitement as we discover what it means for You to become our Father, greatly involved in our life. We pray, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, you're going to have your tea break now. I'll pass the time over to His Lordship. But not quite. Okay, here we go.